live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale. Jaguars Monday underway the day after the Jags fall to the Houston Texans. Will break it all down. The quarterback play, the struggles on really all sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams, all three phases had a hand in it, according to Gus Bradley. We'll get to the injury report. Look around the National Football League. Your calls in the second hour tonight. Before we get started, some heartbreaking news tonight regarding the Telvin Smith family. His family, his brother, was apparently shot last night in Valdosta and has passed away. Mike DiRocco had the article a little earlier this afternoon. So Telvin Smith is away from the football team right now. No word on when he'll be back, but our thoughts with Telvin Smith and his family after that news came down late last night. Now, to the Jags.
Hey, J.P., yes, by the way, yes. P.S., that puts winning and losing in perspective in a whole different light. You
There's
know I mean?
No doubt about that.
No question about that. And like you said, everybody thinking about Telvin and, you know, take a leave of absence, and he should.
Yeah, no, don't rush back. Do what you got to do. There's no doubt about that. This football team, 24-21, couple of turnovers, no takeaways. Really a similar script to a week ago. Couldn't get any takeaways. There's some key situations in the game where they couldn't get anything done.
Well, you start off spotting them 7 with just a bad decision, a bad throw, bad timing. There wasn't one good thing about that play or the pick 6. So you basically say, hey, we're going to spot you 7. We're going to give you 7 points, and we'll play uphill from there. And that's one of – I was talking before on the crosstalk – you know, there's 5 to 7 plays. That's one of them right there. You can't do that in this league. You know, then you got 2 wide open guys going down the field. You don't hit either of those. You have a 3rd and 16 with 13:50 left in the fourth quarter. You have a chance to get the ball right back. You give up a 17-yard run on 3rd and 16. You can't do that. I mean, you're playing. It's tough. You're behind the 8-ball and you have to punt it away. And you hit a low line drive that gets returned for 57. And give up 7 more to make an 11-point game. I mean, those are situations you just can't have. I mean, it's a one-possession game with 13:50, and you're getting them off the field. It's a completely different ball game. Because even if you just go down and score 3 at that point, make it a 5-point game with, you know, 9 minutes left in the ball game, it's anyone's. I mean, so those are the plays you have to make.
You can get away with what? Like 1 or 2 of those if you cover the rest of those, right? Because everybody's going to have – nobody's played a perfect game, right?
No, you're never going to play perfect. But
yeah, but bad teams can't get away with as much as good teams can get away with. That's the bottom line.
And I want to be careful tonight because everyone's piling on Blake, and I don't want to jump on the bandwagon. And just
we'll break down Blake
and bury him
tonight for sure.
But it's got to be better. And this is 2 weeks in a row – where there are major opportunities for big plays. One was a drop by Allen Hurns. Maybe some not running out through the route for Allen Robinson, but basically 3 deep shots that were there that are made in this league. I'm not saying you have to make all 3, but how about 2 out of 3? And then there's 2 this game with guys running wide open. Touchdowns. Wide open, game-changing plays. And Pete knows this. When you hit big plays like that, it changes everything. The momentum, the energy, the confidence. And when you miss wide open plays like that, it is a downer. So that's
No question about it. But I even think worse than missing the open plays is the interception return for a touchdown.
Well, that's the one. I mean, yeah, that's
I mean, but Tony, okay, where's the mistake on that play?
It was late.
But it wasn't that late. You know why it was late? Because his motion is so long. That's why it was late.
Okay. The other mistake was, I think it has to be thrown more outside if you're going to throw it with a corner it sits. So that either your guy
was
or your guy.
And the route wasn't great.
No, it's a speed out. So right, it's what he's supposed to do. It's a speed out.
And wasn't he staring over there the whole time too?
Well, you either have to throw it on time and outside so the corner can't make the play, but you can't throw it late in the body or even inside.
And the windup doesn't help because the ball doesn't get there that quickly.
Oh.
What are you owing? It's a fact.
I'm owing because I don't know what to say, Pete. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to pile on, but at some point it is what it is.
Ninth career pick six off Blake Bortles. This year, the third time he's thrown an interception on the opening drive.
It just can't happen. I mean, you're asking way too much. It's you're this team plays uphill. We just talked about it's only had a little over 2 minutes of lead in the last five ball games. Part of the you want to know why you don't get any turnovers, partly because you're always playing from behind and other teams can play conservative and don't have to push the ball. And all that adds up. It's got – I mean, it has to be better. It has to be better, and you start. I'm not even saying you have to be, you know, rock solid and, you know, 100 quarterback rating, but where it has to start is you have to make the plays that are there. You have to make the easy plays. You have to make the right reads, and you got to throw the ball more accurately.
Well, Tony, I'll give an example. On when he completed that – he got outside the pocket, completed a pass to Robinson on the sideline for a first down, which was a pretty good throw on the move. You remember?
He throws better on the move, by the way.
Yeah, it was right after the interception or whatever. But what he did is he missed Julius Thomas in the middle of the field on an easy, simple read on that same exact play. He's wide open. At least on the TV it looked that way, but and I'm sure you saw the tape and you probably saw that
too. Yeah, I don't remember
too.
Him being wide open. Sometimes on the TV because those backers are sliding in front of the guy, and sometimes those windows aren't quite as open as they look on TV, Pete. But I understand what you're saying. I know you're – I understand.
Yeah, and
premise.
So that's a positive play that should have been made, and that's the thing. The easy play isn't getting made. There is no easy – there's nothing easy about the way he's playing quarterback now. Nothing smooth. Nothing rhythmic, nothing easy.
Well, it's another one that no one's talking about, they have a play-action pass where they end up, you know, the fumble where they recovered. He sticks it in and loses control on the fake.
Yeah.
It's a great play. Alan Hearns is 10 yards behind the – or not, that's an exaggeration – 5 to 6 yards behind the defense. It's a touchdown. Now, if we complete it, it's a touchdown. Great play design, great time to call it. It is a touchdown. Instead, fumble, loss of one. Can't make those plays. You can't do that. I mean, those are plays. It's hard to win in this league. And when you have opportunities for shots and big plays and big opportunities and scoring opportunities, you have to take them. And we're not. We're not as an offense. Whether you want to it always starts with the quarterback. And part of me doesn't like it because I like Blake, and he's a young guy, and you don't want to pile on. But guess what? You're also the quarterback, and in this league, you make all the money, and you get all the fame. And guess what? When it's not going well, you get all the blame.
Well, he isn't
That's
making
the
all the money. He isn't making all the money because he's still on his rookie deal.
But you know what?
And
he's in principle,
and
you
he's
understand.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Tony. And he's blowing the opportunity to make that money. And for me, it just – he has a tendency, when things go bad, to go into pouty – in the jar mode. You know what I mean? He just doesn't respond well.
Well, I don't see that as much as you do.
You don't?
Well, because I don't think that's affecting him because the opening series, we just heard he's thrown three picks. He threw a pick six. So it's from the start, it's not going well.
But again, it doesn't respond well to Tony.
They drove down the field and scored a touchdown after that, Pete.
13 play drive after that.
Okay,
they went right down and scored.
But as soon as he threw that interception.
But don't say he doesn't respond because he went right down and scored a touchdown.
Okay. But then if something else happens, then he gets back into pouty phase.
Pete,
look,
he went right down. You and I agree on the quarterback's not playing very well and it needs to be better. Otherwise, it'd be very difficult for this team to win. But your argument about it, he doesn't respond, doesn't hold water yesterday at least because he went right down and scored.
Okay. But I'll give an example. people criticized him for not trying to tackle the returner on that play. I disagreed. I think he did try and tackle, but just overran it. Once he overran it, that was the end of it. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to defend him a little bit on that. But take a look at him after that happens, and just look at him. Just look at him. Because I went back and watched it again, and I'm not going to criticize him for missing. Because, look, he's trying to tackle a returner. It's, you know, and he's running full speed to try and tackle him. The guy cut inside of him. He can't. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. But then from then on in that play,
offensive tackle would have made that play.
Didn't you make that once?
You did.
Didn't
oh,
you make that?
He's nodding yes. Of course he did.
He did make that play. Well, who'd you make that play against?
The Bengals. Archer yes. Hawkins, remember?
That's right. That's right.
No, I have the sideline as a friend. He couldn't cut back. I dove. Luckiest. I closed my eyes and
by the
dove.
Way, I'm done. Can I just say this before we get into the rest of the show? Yeah. I'm done mentioning you on Twitter anymore about your playing and everything. I got
why
so much crap the other day about
– What has that ever stopped you from doing anything?
I know, but it's – I don't know if you saw it, but the other day
I
Joe Thomas was bad.
I saw it.
Joe Thomas was bad. I said,
I was
please.
At the game.
Yeah, he was bad. And I don't care if he's hurt or not. He was bad. So I sent out this tweet saying – just remember this game or something to the effect of the rim of the game when anybody ever tries to say that Joe Thomas is better than Tony Boselli, and it just lit up the crowd. I mean, yeah. Oh, my God. And then, of course,
Pete,
the
you
Ogden
know, hey,
people.
Listen, I love that you are my staunch defender and pushing for the Hall of Fame. You know I appreciate it.
I know, but it's just tiring. How could anybody? And then, I rated you ahead of Ogden, and that set off some people. I even heard from some Ravens people. They must have looked at it on Twitter. And I mean, it's just – it sets off this whole chain reaction, and I'm like, look, the guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. Put him in there. Joe Thomas was one of the best eight tackles of your generation. He wouldn't have been.
Well, there was a lot of good players. You know how I feel about
Bruce Armstrong.
Bruce Armstrong, Tony.
Bruce Armstrong, Richmond Webb.
Tony Jones was a stud. Gary Zimmerman, you know, I mean,
Rofe, you, Pace, Ogden,
Walter
Jones.
At the, I mean, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of good tackles when I played.
But that's an aside, though. But yeah, I mean, every time I bring your name up, it just ends up being a lightning rod.
But we'll finish this off real quick because we got to go to break. But I understand body language, and he does have some bad habit of kind of not giving the best body language sometimes. But Sunday, they responded. My issue is over 60 minutes. The consistency at the quarterback position is not there right now.
Let me ask you, before we go to break, we can ponder this out there. Is the word bust now a possibility for him?
Ooh.
Gosh, I hate you, Prisco.
We'll think about it. We'll come back in a moment. Join head coach Gus Bradley at the 7th annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1-mile fun run on November 19th here at Everbank Field. Participants finish inside the stadium. They'll appear on the world's largest video boards. The run benefits the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their full potential. Visit mackenziesrun.org to register. We're underway. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's on us, it's on me to go out and go play and, you know, go play as hard as you can, have fun and be successful. And when that doesn't happen and, you know, you seem to find a lull and you can't get out of it, I mean, there's nothing else to do besides keep your head down and keep working. You know, it's all you can do, believe in yourself, believe in the guys in the locker room, because there's not a lot of other people that do, you know, so it's, you know, I think it's good. It's, you know, continue to be a character test. I know people are agitated and frustrated with everything, as are we. This isn't fun for anybody.
There's quarterback Blake Bortles last night after the Jags fell to the Houston Texans. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. By the way, Blake Bortles today was out in the community for an event involving the PGA Tour and the Players Championship down at Pine Castle. They received a $5,000 grant from the Players Redcoats earlier this year. Pinecastle serves adults with intellectual and other disabilities, provides support to their families. Blake's foundation has a big hand in that as well, so he was involved in the event today.
It's great.
So,
very cool.
Cool to see
that
him
is good.
Out and
that's
about.
That's great stuff.
Let's continue. That's a nice segue. Well,
let's ponder my question.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's waited. Let's
we've pondered.
Say nice things about him and let's kill him.
No.
Good job.
We're not killing him. I'm asking the question.
I'm not killing him.
Well, why don't you answer it, Pete? Because you always like to ask the questions. Why don't you answer your question, then I'll give you my opinion.
He's not there yet, but he's working himself there. And if he doesn't get out of this funk by the end of the year, then I'll say that, yes, he is. It's too early to say 100% that he's a bust, but he's 65% of the way working himself there. And it's mystifying to me that it's got to this point at this stage of the season. After last year, I was convinced that he had it figured out. I thought there were times early in the preseason, where he made some throws that were like, where he looked like an NFL quarterback who read the field and came off one side and came back to the next. But this guy we see on the field for the last month, six games, is nothing at all close to the quarterback who was on the field a year ago. And is this a case of a kid's, you know, like a golfer who can't get it back? Or can he get it back? Or was last year an aberration season of sorts? Who knows? But right now, if he continues playing this way the rest of the season, Tony, and I'm not saying he will, if he continues playing that way the rest of the season, then at the end of the year they have to evaluate it and start thinking that maybe they got the wrong guy.
Pete, we talked about it, I think, week four or five, you said. Maybe it was week four because it was after their 0-3, or maybe it was week five. I can't remember. That the question needs to be asked, is he the guy? Is he the franchise guy? And you and I had a heated discussion and debate, and I said way too early to even mention those words and have that conversation. In that vein, I think it's too early to even talk bus or failed or not the guy. I've heard people say they should bench him. I don't think any of that is a good decision. I think it's way too early to make those absolute statements one way or another. But I will say he has not played well overall this season, 9 games in. I'm not saying it's been terrible all the time, but if you were making an overall judgment, it's not good enough. You have 7 games, and I said it week four, 7 games from now, Dave Caldwell and whoever else is involved is going to have to sit down and make an honest evaluation and decision, is he the guy or not? But if it continues to play the way it is right now, which I hope it doesn't, and I don't want it to, because I don't want to go through that process. And for me, I like Blake. I like the makeup. I like a lot of things he does, and I'm rooting for him. But it's got to be better. And it'll be, if it doesn't get better, there'll be really some very difficult decisions to make in the offseason. So it's too early. I've said it from day one. You play this thing out, and you evaluate whether it's the head coach, the GM, the quarterback, or anyone else, the radio team, JP Shadrick, Joe Fortunato, Pete, you, all the whoever's involved in the organization, you make that decision at the end of 16 games. But if it doesn't get better, it's going to be really some very difficult conversations.
Let me ask you this, Tony. If it's not better by December 15th.
So 1 month.
And it's going exactly the same.
That's right after the Vikings game, by the way.
Do you go to Allen and play him?
Right now, I would say no.
See, me, I would skip Henny. That does nothing. If you haven't won since then, and the quarterback is awful.
Yeah, if the season's a wash and you're done with everything.
If.
No, I'm saying.
It's a wash now.
Well, Pete, what I'm saying, so the record is what, 2-8 right now?
7.
2-7? It's not a wash. No. I said it on the radio this morning with Dan and Jeff. You don't make absolutes because what if they win 7 in a row? And I'll make the same disclaimer I made this morning. I'm not saying I think they're going to. I'm not saying I think that they will. I'm not predicting that. But it is the NFL, and you got to play week in and week out, and that's why you don't make these absolutes after 9 games. And so you have to let this thing play out and see where it goes. If you're sitting in December with 2 or 3 games left, and it's gone completely sideways and it's nothing, no better and nothing else, then I think you probably have some conversations like, okay, what do we want to look at? What do we want to evaluate? I hope we don't get there, because that is not a fun place to be around, and that is not a fun time for anybody.
Nope.
And I don't want to see it happen. I want to see him go on a run. What I've seen so far, do I have any confidence right now that that's going to happen? I can't give any empirical evidence that says that's going to happen. But I'm sure hoping it gets better, because you see aspects, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. You see aspects of this team that are really, really encouraging from the play at certain times and certain guys.
We'll come back and delve into that. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Your calls in the second hour tonight. Injury report still to come. We'll look around the league. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
As a quarterback, he got up and down. You know, I think he has some missed passes today, but I mean, it happened. My thing is, of course, we try to lift him up, but at the end of the day, Blake knows that as a quarterback, you got to keep yourself pumped up too. You know what I'm saying? Because everything revolves around you. You know, I look up to him. As far as when I come out, we got to go through our series. You know, I look at him and see how he is, and if he calm, cool, collected, then I'm calm, cool, collected.
There's Marquise Lee, Jaguars wide receiver, playing well the last few weeks. Talking about his quarterback, JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday.
Interesting his comments there. I look to Blake, and if he's calm, cool, and collective, I'm calm, cool, and collective. I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's true overall. The quarterback is such an important piece in that huddle, and if they don't get rattled or nothing's bothering them, it definitely sends a calming, confidence in the huddle and out there. So I guess I agree with that. But I've never thought about that before, because I don't think I ever
– You weren't wired like that.
No, I don't think I looked at Mark and – I was like, listen, you go do whatever you got to do. I mean, and I got to go block this guy. And if I don't block him, I know.
Yeah, he'll be running around like a
– He won't be calm and cool collective.
Okay, that's right.
And so that's an interesting way to say it. I'm not disagreeing with Marquise, and if it's true for him, that's great. I just never thought of it that way. Pete, have you ever heard stuff like that?
No. I mean, why would you allow somebody else to influence as calm or as up as you are? You know what I mean? I'm with you.
Now, I will say –
You handled yourself individually – When you played, you didn't need Mark to get you going one way or the other.
No.
That's because you're a self-starter, though.
Well, Mark probably knew which buttons to push in certain situations. He needed to.
We had a different group.
Kind of like I do on this show, right,
exactly.
JP?
Exactly. You must be taking notes from Mark.
I'll say this about Mark. He was a very good leader, but he wasn't overly vocal in the sense of getting on guys he was always positive for the most part. And
it wasn't Marino.
No, he wasn't. But we also had groups. I mean, you had Jimmy and Keenan. I mean, those guys are going to go play. You had Fred. I mean, so.
He was overly animated when he got rid of Andre.
Now, if he got frustrated now, don't get me wrong, Mark would show some emotion and get upset. But not some guys are real vocal and get on you, and like a Phillip Rivers. That's my perception of him, watching him at least. I've never been around him. Wasn't Mark's style.
No.
Very good.
It's not Blake's style either.
Very good leader. Everyone knew it was his huddle. He was the guy. We were counting on him to get things done. And I'll say the one thing where I can understand what Marquise is saying, when the quarterback's playing really well and he's hot, there is a confidence that comes. Because, I mean, I can remember times where 8 was on fire back there and it was like, just let's go. You look at some of the big games we've had and where he played. I mean, there were plays he made that really set the tone for everybody in that huddle.
Yeah, you feed off the quarterback.
But no different than Fred. Fred was the same type of guy. I remember games where Freddie gets going. It's like, hey, guys, just stay on your block for a second. That extra second, if we can just finish a block, doesn't have to be perfect. Just stay on your guy. He is going to make something happen. So there are players like that are dynamic And we were fortunate when I played here. We had Mark, we had Fred. Jimmy was a guy, same way. You know, things get going, and it's like, wow, let's just do our job, and they'll take care of the rest.
Before the timeout there, we were going to talk about other parts and aspects of this team that can be positive here, that you have moving forward. The defense could be one of those, right?
Oh, I think this
defense. A lot going on well there.
I think this defense is going to be a dominant defense. You look at the secondary. We'll start there. Jalen Ramsey, more than any player, and he's not the only one, but I give it the highest, can be a dominant player at this in this league, a superstar. He has the makeup, talent, all the things. You look at our secondary with him. I'll tell you what, Dave has a tough decision at the end of this year with Jonathan Cyprian.
He's playing well.
He's playing really good football. And all of a sudden you say, hey, listen, you know, are we going to want to pay what other teams might pay him in the free agency to keep him? I mean, as a box safety, and we were all critical of him last year and the 2 years before when they were asking him to do a lot of center field stuff and stuff. He is not in his makeup. But when they got him into his true position, like a Cam Chancellor, I mean, just watching last night's game and where this defense kind of originated with Gus, I mean, he does a great job. I mean, he is playing good football right now. You got Gibson, who's a solid, good free safety. You got Prince. You got Aaron Colvin. I mean, so you have a secondary. You're like, we got something going there. You look at the linebacking position. Puz is playing at a high level. How many years does he have left? You're not sure, but you have the replacement with Miles Jack, who continues to flash, and you watch him out there. Telvin's a high-end player. I think the young ends will come around if Dante Fowler can just stop making dumb plays.
He's been a disappointment too.
Yes and no, Pete. Disappointment by the idiotic things he's done. But he's young pass rushers takes time.
I know, but he hasn't improved as a pass rusher, I don't think, from week one to now. Like bending, using his hands, the little things. I'm with you, Tony.
I always said it would take him a year.
I think
Dante Fowler, if he doesn't continue to make dumb decisions and can figure that part of it out on the field, I think he has the opportunity to be a dominant defensive player. I mean, you watch him fly around out there. My goodness. Sometimes, Pete, I watch him, and I wonder if his best position would be a 3-4 outside linebacker. He is so good in space. My goodness. And you got to remember,
he's pretty good against the run.
He is. He never really played with his hand in the ground at Florida. And obviously we don't play that here, so it's a mute point, but I just was watching him. He's really talented. So you have him, you have Malik who's playing. I mean, so you have the – you know, you're one dominant pass rusher away from being a top five defense, in my opinion.
Tony, if they played a 3-4, just for the sake of the argument, they would go?
They'd go Avery or Roy at nose. They'd go Malik, Sen, Audric, Tyson as your defensive end, and you'd have Ngakoue and Fowler. Stand-up guys.
But the problem with that is, Telvin doesn't fit in the 3-4 as an inside linebacker.
Oh, I disagree with that.
You think he'd be able to play the 3-4?
Yes.
Most teams want the guy bigger, but
yeah, but
I mean,
he can fly. You have to watch. Telvin defies logic to me at 215 pounds or whatever, 218 soaking wet. How he is physical enough and elusive enough to get off blocks and play inside. I mean, it is really impressive.
But, you know, and then you have Miles Jack eventually taken over, and then you'd have your – yeah, I mean, it could work. What was the comment from Marks yesterday? He wasn't happy with his play time?
Yeah. I mean, typical frustration guy. I don't think it's a big deal. Guys are frustrated. You're losing. That's what happens. Wants to play more.
He played the all I've done for the franchise card, though, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a little much. I mean,
seriously. I mean, come on, said Derek.
It's a little much. I mean, I'm sure someone in the franchise said, "Yeah, we paid you to do that too." But listen, no big deal, Sen. I mean, he's frustrated. It's emotion. That doesn't bother me.
Let's come back in just a moment, guys. We'll go over the injury reports, a little more on defense too, and maybe
There's offensive players that are playing at high end too.
Receivers, we'll get to those guys coming up, and your calls.
The right tackle isn't.
He had a rough game yesterday.
Had a rough day. I'm sure he'll be graded poorly by PFF.
I'm gonna boycott that segment today.
No, you're not.
No, you're sticking around. We're back in a moment. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We just got to find ways to win games. We got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we can't let somebody get a 3rd and 19 first down on a run. You know, we can't. We just got to start taking advantage of all our opportunities and stop messing up stuff. And, you know, it's minimizing, but it still doesn't make you feel good when you have a loss.
Malik Jackson, Jaguars defensive tackle. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Frisco, your call's coming up. Also, Jaguars All Access tonight. Dan Scuda is the guest at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale and on Channel 4 this evening. So check that out at the top of the hour.
He's going to be on for half the show, then Miles Jackson will take over the other half.
Oh, Pete.
Cheap shot.
That's an original one, Pete, I'll tell you. Before we get to the injury report, we talk defensive guys, that the aspects of this team that are positive right now. You know, the receivers right now, there's a lot of guys getting open. And we talked about earlier, the missing shots down the field. A-Rob finally had a 100-yard day yesterday and a touchdown and the two-point conversion. Marquise Lee's been playing better football. Those guys are certainly a positive on the offensive side.
Well, I think the receivers, I think parts of the O-line play, it's been consistent, but the pass protection's much better this year. I think Linder, A.J. Cann, both positives in the pass game. I think Kelvin Beachum's done a good job. I think he needs to improve in the run game. And so I think there's a lot of things that you can see saying, all right, there's been progress made. But the problem is it's not the consistency's not there, and the most important position on the field hasn't been consistent and hasn't improved from last year. And that's like it or not, it's the world we live in. And we talked about it earlier. If you're not getting consistent play at that position, listen, the Houston Texans aren't either. But you can't make mistakes then. You cannot turn the ball over. This team's minus 14. You can't give short fields up to your defense. You have to be good. You have to be clean in special teams. All things that aren't happening right now, and didn't happen yesterday.
On offense. Moving forward, you said guys on defense you felt really good about. On offense, give me the guys you feel really good about moving forward.
Like all the receivers.
Okay, I agree. Hey, you know, Hearns has played himself more into being the number three receiver in my mind. But
I don't disagree with that.
Okay, still good to have him around. Okay.
I think you have two solid backs. I don't think you have I don't know if you have a franchise back, but you have two solid backs that I think you can win with.
Okay.
You're going to have to do something at tight end. Mercedes is getting older. I mean, he still blocks well. How much longer that'll hold up, who knows? You know, Father Time is undefeated, so you got to wait and see. I think Julius Thomas has been a disappointment. I think that's obvious.
Major.
I think that's obvious when you look at the fact that Mercedes is your starting tight end, when the first time they go to two tights, it's Ben Koyak. He didn't come on until third down.
Why is that?
I don't think he's playing very well.
Do they want more blocking? Is it that?
No, pass game, I don't think – I haven't seen consistent effort or route running or speed. At times, it just – no separation.
There's no suddenness to them.
No, none.
There's no suddenness.
Zero suddenness.
Right.
I said it – I mean, right now, Koyak's playing every bit as good or better. Now, maybe he can't do all the things that you think – Julius can do or should be doing.
We've seen him do for other teams, yes.
But the consistency.
Well, no, he did it for one team at one point, not a lot. I mean, so yeah, it's not like he had 8 years of eight-year career catching a boatload of passes either.
Nope.
It was 2 years. You're right.
So
he's been a flop for in what they pay him, how they paid him. He's been a flop. Now he just doesn't look as sudden as he looked in Denver to me.
No.
Is he heavy?
I don't know, but there's no...
Oh, here we go with the heavy again.
Well, he looks when he catches the ball. He looks like
that. It's unreal.
You know that, Tony? When he catches the ball, he looks like a tackle sometimes.
There's there's nothing that happens after the ball is caught. And there's not a lot of separation in the routes, and there's not a lot of winning.
Now, we'll say he hasn't been hit in stride this year either. It's always been having to reach back and stop and then start again. That's not his game.
That is part of it. But there's not a lot of separation. And there's not a lot of – at times, if that's as fast as he is, as I watch on film, then he's not very fast. And I thought he was fast. So it is what it is. And, you know, I'm not trying to call anyone out, but watch the tape and watch the production. And it kind of speaks for itself. Offensive line, I think Linder.
Linder, for sure.
A.J. Can.
Can.
I mean, listen, Parnell's still your right tackle. He didn't play well yesterday, but I'm not going to make a judgment on one game. I mean,
I think he didn't play. I think it's 2 weeks in a row he hadn't played well.
I don't.
And then there were games at other times this year that he didn't play. I just think he's okay.
Remember, he's another guy that hasn't played a lot either. Remember?
Yeah, no, we're not going to use that excuse, JP.
No? Okay.
All right. Kelvin Beachum in the pass game has done a good job. He's got to improve his run blocking. Now I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass because he's coming off an ACL. And I know that takes time to get your explosion back and your push in the run game. So if that comes back, I think you can play left tackle. Omame's a solid backup. I think you want to try to look for maybe an upgrade there. So
would you pay Ron Leary?
I haven't watched enough of the tape, but I know he's around four really good offensive linemen.
He's played good, though, Tony.
I haven't watched it, so I'm not going to make a comment.
Yeah, I can tell you from watching his tape in the last month, he's actually played really good football. But again, it's not like he's Zach Martin either. But he has played really good football.
And he's around Tyron Smith and the center.
And Frederick.
Frederick. So.
But he can move. He can move. He's athletic.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
But of the five offensive linemen, how many should be back starting next year, in your mind?
I think 3 to 4 will be.
I think they could use an upgrade at the right tackle.
Does that include Jokel?
Well, Jokel's going to be a free agent, so it's going to be interesting.
Well, he'll be back on a one-year. He'll be back on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I think you're right, Pete.
Let's get to the injury report, guys. A few updates today. Brian Walters remains in the return-to-play concussion protocol, the wide receiver. Defenseman Chris Smith still out with an eye injury. And Marquise Lee sustained a right ankle sprain during the game but played through it and should be good to go this week. So that's the good news. Nothing major this week on the injury front for the Jags. We'll come back and open the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, PFF grades. What did we call this last week, Pete? Irritate Tony segment is right around the corner after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I feel good about it. We had some big PIs, gave, a couple guys a chance to make plays. Obviously, Miss Hearns on the touchdown down the middle. It's a work in progress. I continue to try and give those guys better balls and a chance to go make a play. And then when we get those opportunities, we got to go make a play.
Blake Bortles discussing deep balls and his confidence in that part of his game. After the game yesterday, Jags fell 24-21. Second hour, Jaguars Monday underway. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. This is the Irritate Tony Vaselli segment. It comes up each and every show.
It won't work this time.
Because it includes Pro Football Focus grades of the Jaguars game and phone calls. So, Mr. Prisco, are you ready?
Yeah, I think the phone calls will irritate him more than the game than the actual grading today.
All right, let's just get the grading over with because it's a waste of time.
Let's start with the offense. Ready?
Yeah.
Three people in the green.
Allen Robinson.
Yes.
Brandon Linder.
Yes.
Marquise Lee.
No. T.J. Yeldon.
Okay.
Everybody else in the red, there is a deep red for one offensive lineman.
Parnell.
Correct.
I don't think everyone else should have been in the red, but that's fine.
No, he's the only offensive lineman in the red.
You said everyone else is in the red.
No, I said he's the only offensive lineman in the red. There are some other guys in the deep red. Like Hearns is deep red. Bortles is red. Julius Thomas is red.
What the hell's the difference between red and deep red?
I don't know. This is a dumb segment. Okay, go to defense.
Defense. Minus 3.5 is deep red. Minus 1.2 is...
No one cares.
Okay.
No one cares.
All right.
Nobody.
One guy on defense has a great grade, and he's the highest graded player on the team this week.
I thought Jalen played his best game of the year, but he got two penalties, so it's probably not him. And the way the game ended, they probably put that on him too. Tough play. Great route by DeAndre Hopkins. Great route. I don't know. Who?
Malik Jackson.
Yeah, I thought he played well. He did play well. I thought for the most part Malik's played well this year.
Others in the green.
I would put Jalen in the green. They asked him to go out there.
He wasn't in the green. He wasn't in the green, surprisingly.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins had 13 targets, 5 receptions for 48 yards, one of the better receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, I would put him in the green.
And Jalen was one-on-one with them the entire day.
And they gave him a negative in pass coverage, not just penalty. That's bad.
I mean, it's dumb.
Okay. Cyprian in the green.
I'm not going to get irritated. It's dumb.
Cyprian in the green.
Okay.
You agree with that?
Yes, played well.
Ngakoue in the green?
No, I would disagree with that.
Okay. Tyson in the green?
Yes. Ngakoue, one play that just drove me crazy. Ngakoue has a on the 40-yard run Lamar Miller. It should have been a gain of 0 or 1. I mean, he just didn't tackle him.
By the way,
I thought I was watching flag football.
On that play, the closing speed of Miles Jack was a show.
He can fly.
Walked him down. That was pretty awesome.
He can fly.
And Aaron Colvin got a green.
Yeah, Aaron Colvin playing good football. He's a good nickel.
All right, so you don't argue. And the biggest negative of everybody on the field. Okay, the biggest negatives were Audric.
Yeah, Audric was not good.
He hasn't been good all year. Marks.
Okay.
And Fowler.
Fowler did not do much.
And Puz got a minus grade, too.
I disagree with that.
How many plays did Marks play, by the way?
23.
Marks played 23. Is that complaining? Is that a complaining number?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know how many he's supposed to play. They rotate all the time.
Miles Jack played 14.
I'm not going to have this conversation with you every week, Pete, about Miles Jack.
I know. Dan Scuda played 27.
Well, because that includes special teams. It'll be my guess. Mm.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And Jared Wilson played 3.
Sip got the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah. So there you have it. There's your grades.
That's great, Pete. That was exciting.
You were pretty on point with him today, Tony.
That's great.
You were pretty much in agreement.
Yeah, let's give Jalen Ramsey a negative.
Yeah, that one I can't figure. I haven't watched the 22 tape yet, but
yeah, the secondary, they held him to 99 yards passing and one of the better receivers
without much pass rush.
To 48 yards on 5 receptions when he was targeted 13 times. Okay.
Hey, Tony, we were talking about before we get to the callers, we were talking about the offensive players who have really Marquise Lee has the look of a player who's going to be a wide receiver on this team for a long time now.
I think he's,
to me.
I said it on the radio broadcast, and I've said it the last couple weeks. He's the most dynamic player on the offense. He's the most explosive player on offense. I'm not saying he's the best player, but he's the most explosive.
Even when he made that catch in the middle of the field, he
great
went up
hands.
With his two hands. Yeah. I mean, he's for next year, he's got to be a guy going forward that everybody's excited about.
I would agree.
You can do a lot of things with him, end of rounds. Put him over the middle. Go deep with him. Yeah, no doubt. That's good to see. How about the phone lines? You guys ready?
Yes.
The Irritate Buscelli segment continues, and we start off with Gil at the beaches tonight. 355-NFL-1. Gil, you're on the air. What's up?
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I feel like we've got what we need. I think I like Hackett. I like the way the receivers are getting open and the way we're running the ball. I think the only problem is right now is quarterback. I think we got the guys. I think, listen to this. Maroon, you get him the head coaching job, he keeps Hackett, and if you're Dave Caldwell and you're worth your salt, you go out there and you dig under every rock and you get a bunch of quarterbacks in here and you let these guys find a quarterback they like to run that offense, just like you were talking about with that. that option play that they fumbled on, where I think Tony said Hurd was running open about 5 yards. That's the kind of stuff. I feel like, and I, first of all, let me just say, you guys got really good radio. My wife and I both listen, very entertaining. But man, we're not that far away. And I love Gus Bradley, but he'll get a defensive coordinator on somebody else's team. But we got to have a change up there, and you put Marone up at the head of it, and you keep this thing together, and you just go get some quarterback.
And you sign Blake
to his extension, but he has to win the job. That's just like that. And you let Marone and you let Hackett decide.
Thanks for the call, Gil. No,
Gil's got pie in the sky. No, come on, Marone.
I got a break. I got a headache.
Yeah, you can assign him an extension. You can assign him to a long-term extension and pay him big dollar money, and let him compete for the job. That's brilliant.
Come on. Let's go to the next call.
Next is Darren in Mandarin. Darren, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, good evening, guys. Pete, this is kind of towards you a little bit. You stole my thunder a little bit earlier when you said that. That the receivers are not being hit in stride. That's one of my biggest frustrations as a fan that I'm watching. These receivers haven't caught balls really from any other NFL quarterback other than Blake, okay? And so, you know, these guys have tremendous potential. I'm disappointed by that. So I believe, Pete, would you not, I know you mentioned this, but set him for a game, that would that not help him? Maybe to sit him for a game, and is it not hurting him worse by just throwing him to the Lions week after week? And then I'd like to see consistent play from our offensive linemen. Those are two areas that I'm very frustrated with as a fan, and I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks for the call.
I don't think sitting him for a game does anything. You got to play it. This is when you find out what a guy's made out of. Play yourself through it. If you're that guy for the long run, you play yourself through it. You don't go sit on the bench. You don't put him over there. You let him play himself through it. If he can't play himself through this, then he's not the guy. That you need to find out the next 7 weeks.
If you sit him on the bench right now, it's a mistake.
Yep.
It's a complete mistake, and I would not do it. I agree with Pete. You got to let it play through. And I mean, offense line, I don't think they're playing that bad. I mean, could they be better? Sure. But I wouldn't put them in the category as inconsistent.
Yeah, they're keeping Blake upright for the most part.
So, But I wouldn't mention him right now. I would not.
No, let him play through it. And
you got to find out. You got to find out who he is and what he is, and is he the guy? You got to figure that out. You got 7 games, and hopefully.
But I will say this though.
Hopefully,
I'll
it's a moot point,
though,
and we're not even worried about it. Hopefully, they get on a roll here and, you know, get a win this week and see what happens.
If he's playing that way, 4 weeks from now, then I would go to Allen and play him for a couple games.
If you do that though, Pete, you're basically saying, we're done and we're moving on. Right?
Maybe you find out Allen can play and you move on anyway.
But is that what you're saying? If you bench him in December, you're saying we're done.
Let's just say the next 4 games are exactly like the one yesterday. Haven't you found out that he's not the guy?
It's a good question. That's why I said it. I said at the beginning, I would not bench him. I would not make any changes, and I'm not ready to say he's not the guy or not. I'm not ready to say any of that.
No, you're next not right seven, now. You're not, but 4 games from now, you might be.
I'd let the 7 play out and see.
Yeah, see, here's the way I look at it. If you decide 4 games from now that he's playing the exact same way and there's been no progress made and he can't get out from underneath it, then that's who he is. Then why not play Allen and find out who he is as you go into the offseason?
And maybe get some value out of, you know, a little more than Allen might have. Playing some games, maybe, right?
What do you mean get value?
No, I mean
to trade him.
No, I'm just for the future. That he has some experience in a game.
Right, correct. Yes. The sooner you get to find out if he's in.
Value for your team or for whatever happens down the line.
Let me play the scenario out for you guys, you geniuses here. So you're going to play Allen,
correct,
for the last 2 or 3 games.
Correct.
And if he plays well, you're going to make him the starter going into next year? Is that your plan?
No, because Blake's not an unrestricted free agent.
So then you're going to bring both of them into camp and let them compete for the starting job, because that always works.
Bingo.
So that always still works so well at the quarterback position when you go into training camp not knowing who the guy is.
So what?
Tell me where that
is. Where's your brilliant solution,
Pete,
then,
Tony? Tell me where that has worked in the history of the NFL, where you go in with two guys not knowing.
Well, I mean, how many people would have had Dak Prescott playing this year?
That wasn't a competition, Pete. That was Tony
Romo. Things change.
It was Tony Romo's team and the injury, right. And they caught lightning in a bottle, and Dak has played very, very well.
Well, how do you know? Maybe Allen's lightning in a bottle.
I'm not saying he's not, but Pete, I'm saying I just have not seen very many scenarios, and maybe they do exist where two guys go in and you're saying we're going to determine based on preseason play who the starter is.
Well, okay, let's just say for the sake of this argument, he plays exact same week, four games exactly like yesterday. Allen goes in and starts two or three games and throws for 290 and three scores or two scores in two of those games. Then don't you go into next season and say, boy, maybe Allen's the guy and Bortles is the guy who's going to be the backup.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a very small sample size to make that decision. That's all I'm saying.
It would be a small sample size.
If you're making the decision that Blake's not the guy, which I'm not ready to do, and I think you're probably closer to making that decision already, Pete.
No, I'm not ready yet.
But I'm not ready to make that decision. But if you end up making that decision, whether it's with two games left or after the season, then you have to go find a veteran guy, or you have to go draft a guy, or you have to do something else. If you make that decision,
they could trade for Romo.
You have to do something. I'm not ready to say that. I think it's premature to have that conversation, but it is talk radio, so I guess that's what you do. If you're Dave Caldwell, I don't think that can even enter your mind yet. Because I don't think that's not the message you want to send to a young quarterback. The message is you're our guy and we're going to go win ball games. And at the end of those 16 games, if the evaluation process tells you, I'm not sure he's our guy, then you make decisions based on that. I don't see any value of doing that with two games left.
Other than you get Allen two games of play time and find out if he can play.
Okay.
I
don't know what that accomplishes, Pete.
It accomplishes you getting a gauge on Allen. You don't know what he is.
And I'll go back to it's awful. I've seen teams, based on really small sample sizes, make bad decisions at the quarterback position. Because a guy can do it for a game or two, and then you make these decisions, and then you realize, wait a second, this is not a big enough – we don't have enough information to make this decision.
Okay,
I mean,
but
– I'll name one,
okay, let's
one,
just,
name,
let's
that
play
comes,
it out.
One name that comes over the top of my head. Matt Flynn went and started two or three games in Green Bay and lit it up and got a $10 million signing bonus and a big contract by Seattle, and it was obvious that he can't do it. He can't lead a team.
And he got beat out by Russell Wilson.
So go draft a guy in the third round and get lucky, and he's Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott. Go do that.
But the bottom line is, here's the scenario. Okay, if Bortles plays it out and he plays the same exact way he's been playing, then what are your options?
Your options, you sit down at the end of the year, you have to make a decision.
And what is it? So what are your options?
Your options are
Tony, okay.
Here are your options, Pete, at the end of the year.
Go ahead.
One, this was an aberration. We think he can still do it.
Okay, well, that one, that'd be pie in the sky.
I'm just giving you a three. Two, we got to go. We're going to be, if it goes this way, we're going to be a top five, two or three or four pick. So I don't think anyone's catching Cleveland for that top pick. And we need to go draft another quarterback. Or three,
okay,
we think Blake might be able to do it still, but we need to go get a veteran guy to lead this team as he works out the kinks of all the things that are going on. Those are your three options.
Well, but here's the flaw in the kinks plan. Ready? His contract would be up, so you'd have to – coming up. So if you get a veteran, he plays, Bortles doesn't play, then you're not working out any kinks, and you're going to have to make a decision to pay him or not.
Pete, if you go get a veteran and that guy plays, it's not going to be a long list of people ready to sign a guy who sat on the bench.
No, I get it, but you're going to have to give him something. See, the bottom line is,
conversations because we're making up stuff that we don't even know to exist.
But that's what fans do, Tony. They want to hear speculation.
I understand. I'm not a fan.
That's
what
they
want to
listen.
The
fans listen to the show. The fans listen to the show. You got to spin it forward.
Let's hope they do.
Let's get one.
We got to start talking about the next coach, too.
No, we don't.
Oh, no.
No, we're not. I won't do that, Pete. I won't. So if you want to have that conversation, you and JP can do it, because I will not have that conversation.
I think I'm out on that, too. Let's get one more phone call in before the break here. Scott and Bay Meadows. Scott, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I got two questions, both of them kind of for Tony Boselli. One, Tony, the lack of discipline on the team seems really bad. And
give me an example.
If you were coaching the team yesterday, Fowler got that penalty right before halftime, which if the kicker makes the field goal, cost you 3 points. I think you have to sit him in the second half and show some discipline. What would you have done? And second of all, when you played for the Jaguars, if anyone got near Brunell, you were on top of him. You were kind of you guarded Brunell. Yesterday, Bortles kind of got sacked, and the ball looked like it was a fumble. And Bortles and his defensive lineman just fought back and forth, and not one defensive lineman, one offensive lineman came and protected Bortles and got the guy off of him. Does that show that Bortles has kind of lost this team? Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
I think your last example is idiotic, by the way. I watch the tape. I see these guys fighting for it. They're playing their tails off. So to think that they're not trying to protect Blake is stupid. Two, it's a different league now. If one of those guys would have dove in that pile and jumped on it, they'd have got a 15-yard penalty, and you'd be asking me about the undiscipline of that offensive lineman. It's a different league when I played. We could do things. We could be chippy at the end of plays. There was so much more leeway for us. It's night and day. So don't compare the era I played in to what these guys can and cannot do. That's not fair.
What about the question about discipline?
Dante Fowler, I'd have done what Gus did. I'd have benched him for the rest of the half. I'm not going to sit one of my two Leos and ask Ngakoue to play every snap for the rest of the game.
Correct. I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. I would do exactly what Gus did. I'd bench him for the rest of the half. Tell him, go watch Gus. Very animated and very stern of get off the field.
And he said he went and talked to him at halftime, too.
Yeah. And so I'd have done the exact same thing as Gus does. I think some of these fans are way over the top and are looking for things to nitpick. There's enough obvious things that aren't going well. You don't have to make up stuff.
We'll come back. More of your calls. Leo, Brian,
yes.
Terrence, hang on.
Golly.
You guys are coming up. The Irritate Boselli segment is rolling tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco, and Leo in Fruit Cove is on the line. Leo, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, good evening, Caballeros. Hey, real quick, I had a couple comments and then I had a question. First of all, I really enjoyed the show tonight. Tony, like what you said about personal Fowler Jr.
I didn't say that. I didn't call him.
That's a great nickname, though.
I like the way he's being used. I don't like the way he's being used. Well,
how would you like him to be used?
Well, like you said, more in free space.
No, but he has the rush
because
of
the I think he's talented in this. You know,
well,
I'm not going to go there.
He's not a very good pass rusher right now.
No, but I think he needs more time though. This is his first season.
That's why I just said that. I agree with you. He needs more. I'm not mailing it on him. I think he has a chance to be a very good player. Not a fan of Thomas.
He reminds me of Jerry Porter, Torrey Big Game Holt when he came here. It's like we pay these guys, and they just they come here and on vacation. I'm not a fan of them. But so if I was grading Dave Caldwell, I say you get a negative for that one. But he's done a lot of good things. Hey, y'all know why Cyprian's gotten better? Because I was big on getting Cyprian out of here, but I think he's gotten better because they brought a lot of competition in.
That's not why.
Brought a lot of competition in.
Wrong. He's playing better because he's playing the natural position that he's supposed to play, which is box safety, which they always wanted him to play, but they didn't have a free safety, so they had to rotate safeties because they had a bunch of strong safeties on the field. So the reason he's playing better is very simple. He's playing his natural position, and he's excelling, and I tip my hat to him. And the part of coaching is putting players in places where they can excel, and they've done a good job of asking Jonathan Cyprian to do what he's good at.
And I'm not ready to one of these ones that's ready to give up on Blake. I don't know how y'all feel about that. I didn't hear what y'all said. I've seen Blake make good throws. I've seen him look defenses off. I've seen him do good pump fakes. If I was somebody in a reporter and I was asking him a question, I would say, Blake, how come I've seen you make the throws before? How come you're not doing it on a consistent basis? I don't know if he needs competition in here. I don't know if you need the right guy in here motivating him some kind of way. But I'm really not ready to give up on him. I hope he can figure it out. But, man, I tell you what, Pete, you said it all the time. You got to find them in the draft, man. I'm not big on these free agents, man. You got to find your guys in the draft, and you got to hit on them. So, and we, hey, we need two to three in the draft. And I don't want to talk draft, but we need 2 to 3.
Well, why are you
on
talking
that upgrade
draft
on that line? Well, I'm just telling you, at, okay, at the line position, what y'all talking about? Two to three.
Move on. We're not talking
about
the draft.
Talking draft tonight. Jeez.
Hey, Tony, I was just watching the end of the half here, just while I'm sitting here, and Julius Thomas has to catch that ball in 3rd and 3.
Yes. Keep it
and then the 4th and 3 play was a disaster, but the 3rd and 3 play, he's got to catch that
ball.
Yep.
And that's why it's not, I mean, the quarterback gets most of the blame because that's the position he's in. He's got to play better. But that's a drop that moves the chains. I mean, Blake was 65% passing, but you can argue as watching it, some of those throws are great catches by the receivers, and it's just the little things. It's the little things that you have to get done right, and it's catching the ball, moving the chains, hitting guys when they're open down the field. You know, you're not going to hit every one of those, but right now we're 0 for 5 in 2 games of deep balls. One of them was a flat drop by Allen Hurns, but the other 4 were 0 for 4. So make it 1 for 5 on deep balls. It's not good enough.
A couple more calls.
Why did – I was watching the play where he pushed Osweiler out of bounds. What the hell was he doing?
If you can figure it out, I'm sure you get hired down here to stop it. No one knows.
I mean, he's not even close to not being out of bounds.
He's on the tarp.
It's unbelievable.
Really was. There's no, and good thing it didn't lead to points. That's for sure. Brian in East Arlington. Brian, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You know, I wanted to see I hate to pile on Bortles. I don't think I'm going to anymore, but I'd like to see what the offense could do without him in there. I mean, it's not, I know everybody says, hey, we got to see what we got in Bortles, but we just got a guy. I think we've seen that. I think Bortles is what he is. He's an inconsistent quarterback. That's going to stay inconsistent no matter what. I don't think with him throwing the ball, having those, some balls are spirals, some balls are super wobblers, some are a little bit of wobblers. I don't think he can control how that ball is coming out of there. And that was what my comment was last week, why I said he was uncoachable. I just don't think that he's able to control how his ball comes out on a regular basis. I just don't think he does. And unless he can do that, he's not going to be a decent quarterback.
All right.
We've talked about it. He's working on it. The mechanics are inconsistent. When your mechanics are inconsistent, especially it starts with his lower body, his footwork and everything else. And when that's not consistent, it's hard to be accurate. And he's never thrown a tight spiral. But there's a lot of guys in this league who've gotten away with not throwing super tight spirals, but they're really accurate. And so that he's got to be better accuracy-wise.
Well, and, you know, look, the whole spiral thing, Peyton Manning didn't throw a spiral barely ever. I mean, Eli Manning sometimes doesn't throw spirals. So there's a lot of guys that don't throw spirals. That's not the problem. The problem is reading the field, going through your progressions, getting to the right progression, and getting the ball out quickly, not with an elongated motion that lets guys jump routes. That's the problem.
Let's finish with a bang on the phone lines tonight. Terrence on the north side. Terrence, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, fellas. JP, Tony, and my man Pete. Hey, I want to make a statement, and then I want to ask you a question. First of all, I think they should start tying the win-loss column to the general manager.
What did you say?
Tie the win-loss to the general manager.
Okay.
Secondly, Tony, I know I'm like you. I think you're wondering about Blake because of last year, but at his best last year, we only won 5 games. So it might be just an admiration year. I mean, we don't have time to sit and waste this talent. So I say scrap it. He don't revert it back to not listen to what the coach, the guy he was working with last year. He decided to go back to what he wanted to do this year. So he's not committed. So change the quarterback, change the coach, change nothing else. Hackett is not working out, so they're scrapping it. including the quarterback, and just move on.
He's been the OC for two games.
Terrence just lit a poured gasoline on the building and threw a match on it.
Everybody. He got everybody.
Gosh. There you have it. Terrence is gone. And we've succeeded, Pete, on the Irritate Tony Buscelli half hour tonight.
Not as much, though.
He's duly irritated, I can tell.
It wasn't the only thing that irritated me.
Well, you want to expand? Go ahead.
No.
Yeah, what else irritated
you? Just a lot of things, Pete, going on. A lot of irritation.
We'll come back and look around the National Football League. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Thanks for the calls tonight. Thanks for irritating Tony. A look around the league next. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Construction is well on its way for Daly's Place, the new state-of-the-art amphitheater at Everbank Field that will establish downtown Jacksonville as one of Florida's premier year-round entertainment destinations. Construction on the foundation has begun, and vertical structures will soon be built. Daly's Place is expected to open in May 2017. In the meantime, make sure you spend the night in one of our fine hotels and enjoy a meal in one of Jacksonville's restaurants. This update is brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay local. Stay and play.
Amazing Black Friday offers are here during the Ford year-end event. Get $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash on top of all other great offers. Or check out special year-end lease deals across the entire lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Save big on Ford, America's best-selling brand. Not available on Mustang, Shelby, GT350, F-150 Raptor, Focus RS, Ford GT. Taking retail delivery from dealer stock by 11/30/2016. Sales claim based on 2015 calendar year sales.
We all love our team. We all love our city. And we all love our favorite Jaguars player. So if you're a fan, you have to check out Fanatics.com. Fanatics.com is the place for the best fan gear from the game's most trusted brands. Jerseys, hoodies, t-shirts, hats, collectibles, and more. Fanatics.com has the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. Officially licensed everything for every fan. Fanatics. Love never loses.
Hi, folks. Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's Barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's Barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's Barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like their coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
Does your yard need some help? Call or visit Liberty Landscape Supply today. They carry plants, trees, gravel, stone, mulch, pine straw, sand, dirt, and much more. Visit LibertyLandscapeSupply.com where you can search for plants that will work in your landscape, research products, email questions, place an order, and schedule a delivery. Check them out online or call 904-261-7177. Liberty Landscape Supply is your number one source for materials that make your yard look beautiful. And don't forget, they deliver to you.
Welcome back to the HenaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
PRI Productions is the Southeast's premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues with our look around the National Football League. Let's start off, as we normally do, in the AFC South. We'll get to all the big headlines around the league coming up as well. But we'll look around this division and get your guys' AFC South power rankings as well. The Texans.
Can I ask you guys this question, if you agree with me? JP, I said this yesterday on the show when we were doing our show. Is the AFC South the worst division that we've seen in this league in 20 years?
In 20 years? Wasn't the NFC West bad 7-9 division champ a few years back?
Yeah, what year was that?
It was like
that was 4 years, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So 2000 and NFC West in 2000 and what? 10?
10 or 11, right?
11.
Seattle won it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were 7-9.
Yeah.
So the rest of the division, no, that wasn't that year. It was 2000. It must have been 2010.
It was.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? It's unbelievable how fast these. Yeah, I think it was 2010. Yeah, Seahawks won, but they had 2 7-9 teams and a 6-10 team.
Pete,
is there going to be two?
Pete, one last question about Bortles. You know, you look at his numbers: 65% completion, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had the 1 interception. His completion percentage is much higher than last year. Why does it feel worse?
Because he's not hitting big plays, that's for one. He's not driving the ball down the field. He's dinking and dunking. So I think that adds to that.
All right, it's curious.
Was there one other thing about yesterday. Was every running play almost looked like it was out of the pistol with the read option design off of it?
There was a few. I don't know. Not everyone, though. No.
A lot of them, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two games involving AFC South teams yesterday, of course, the Texans over the Jags 24-21. We've talked that through. The Titans hammered the Packers 47-25. DeMarco Murray had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. Mariota threw for 4 scores. Delanie Walker had a day. Packers have a lot of issues, but the Titans right now are hot. So that
they
all
beat
said,
them up.
Yeah, they did.
They beat them up.
Dominated.
All right, let's do the power. I'll give you my power rankings.
Go ahead.
Titans are number 1, Texans number 2, Colts number 3, Jags number 4.
Oh, a new number 1 for you.
I think the Titans are the best team.
I think they might be the best team, but the Texans beat them, didn't they? So you can't put them ahead of them.
Well, I just put the Colts ahead of the Jaguars, and we beat the Colts. I mean, this is the same conversation I had with you last week. And you said, no, you can't.
Yeah, but the difference is the Texans have a better
idiot.
Record.
You make up the rules every week, Pete, to fit your argument. It must be hell being married to you. I feel sorry for your dang wife.
Why is that?
I mean, because you're not that attractive. You're kind of overweight, and you're a pain in the rear end to deal with. Besides, you're probably very pleasant to be around.
That's it. I'm calling the Hall of Fame. You're never getting it. Orlando Pace, I got you in, buddy.
you know I'm kidding. I mean, you are.
Oh, he's backpedaling now. Yeah.
No, he's kidding. I know. And I'm kidding, too, believe me. No, they beat him already, though, right? Didn't they beat him already?
Right now, though.
27-20.
Right now, the Titans are playing the best football in the division.
Right, but they got a better record, and they beat him. I can't put them out. So I got the Texans 1, the Titans 2. The Colts 3, and
the Colts beat the Titans though.
Way, 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 way down there, Jacksonville's in 4.
It's bad. I can't even argue.
It's a bad place to be.
Bad place right now. Bad place.
Bad place to be. Let's look around some other games in the National Football League. Let's start off with the 4 o'clock and the primetime game last night. The Cowboys Steelers game, back and forth, 7 lead changes. Pete, you graded the Elliott draft pick as a D. When it happened.
Yes.
That hasn't quite lived up to it.
Would you like to retract that now?
Well, here's why I graded it as a D. And I'm not gonna retract why. I mean, go back from why I graded it that way. I said, good player, really good player, value of the pick. And here's what I, position. If they win a Super Bowl with it, then okay, I'll sit here and I'll say I was wrong about it. If they make the playoffs and in 4 years from now he's beat up because he carries the ball a ton – and Jalen Ramsey is one of the best corners in the National Football League, which I think he will be, then who had the better draft pick? That's why. The value – the corner will play a lot longer. The pass rusher will play a lot longer.
But can Ezekiel Elliott be – I'll just use a guy we know, Fred Taylor, who carried the ball a lot, but for whatever reason defied the odds and played for 12 years and rushed for a lot of yards and never lost, you know, was always productive. Can he be that guy? Can he be an Emmitt Smith? Can he be – one of the, generational backs that overcomes the high carry load and is just a great player?
I don't think you're going to see that guy anymore.
Why, though, Pete? Why not? Because they used to take beatings when we played, and they just played.
Yeah, but, you know, like a guy like Fred Taylor didn't take a lot of clean – you know, like the back today. Like,
okay, Emmitt
like
Smith
like,
was a
– Emmitt Smith. Right. He didn't take a lot of clean shots either. He gave you a hip and move. You know, it's different. There's different style. Like, you know, Marshawn Lynch wasn't going to play 15 years.
No, but could Ezekiel Elliott – when I watch him run, he is elusive. He – doesn't take big hits from what I've seen. He gets out of bounds when he needs to. I mean, can he be that? I'm not saying he is. I mean, you never know.
Maybe,
if he's that guy, then it's an A+.
Well, and again, I go back to that offensive line. If and I asked somebody this the other day, if Alvin Morris was playing behind that line right now as is, Alvin Morris wouldn't have 1,000 yards and catch an 83-yard screen pass, but he'd probably have 800.
No, listen, the offense line's big. Well, when Emmitt Smith was there, they had the best offensive line in football, too. I mean, it helped him.
Right. And you know what, Tony? You're an ex-offensive lineman, and we talk a lot about the offensive line. The more I'm around the league, I'm a big believer in passing game and the quarterback and all that. I still am. I think the quarterback dictates everything. But the teams that are winning are the ones that have the offensive line in place. I mean, the Raiders, good offensive line.
Outside of the Seattle Seahawks, because they got a ragtag group up there, and they find ways to win. It helps when you have that defense.
They have the best scoring defense in the league for the last 4 years. And again, they're on.
Russell Wilson's playing
good
football.
And Wilson played. He's playing good. He played good the other night. He played great football Sunday night.
Yeah,
not good football. He played great. But back to the offensive line. You know, Tennessee's winning because their offensive line.
No, you're right. Pete, you're preaching to the choir. I think the offensive line, after the quarterback, the most important things on a football team are your offensive line and your defensive line.
Correct.
That's how you win football games consistently.
It's still blocking and tackling.
That's right.
And that last touchdown was proof of that, that Cowboys touchdown.
Well,
part of the Red Sea.
Mike Tomlin
said.
Lost that game for them when he went for 215 times during the game. If they
and
just
then chased it.
If
and
they
chased
just
it,
if
chased
they just
it.
Kick field goals, extra points there
extra
and make
points.
Them, they're up by 5 at the end of the game.
No.
Yes.
Well, they would have been up by
5.
Yeah.
4 extra points.
Yeah.
They missed all. They've been up by 5. So at that point now, Dallas has to get a touchdown. You play completely different. You're not selling out to stop the run and run blitzing and doing all these things. You're playing a different type of game, keeping things in front of you and letting the clock go instead of having to be so aggressive because as soon as they got in field goal range, now they got to sell out.
Yeah.
And so I put that on Tomlin. You don't go for 2 like that. It's
no,
nonsense.
No.
The Broncos.
But I will say this about going for 2. Can I
go ahead?
For 2,
no, go ahead.
I agreed with what Pete Carroll did.
What did he do? I went to bed at halftime. I was so tired.
Oh yeah,
four
trying
minutes,
to make it 9.
Four minutes left in the game. They score a touchdown. They go up 7. He goes for 2 to make it 9, and everybody goes, "What is he doing? What is he doing?"
Great call.
It's a great call. I've been a big believer in that my entire life, that you do that when there's not a lot of time on the clock because it makes it a 2-possession game.
That's
if you
right.
get it. If you don't get
it, doesn't
it,
change anything.
And you're still up 7, it doesn't change anything. He's not going to go for 2 if he gets the touchdown on the other end. You're going to go to overtime. Now, people will say, well, it prevents him from forcing him to make the 2-point conversion. I don't care. You're better off getting the 9 and not having
make
that
make it 2-possession. It changes how
yes.
the other team plays.
Yep, I love that. I loved it. He didn't get it because Wilson threw a bad pass, but it was the right decision.
The Broncos won on a blocked extra point return for 2 points in the win. The
didn't
Bronx
he step out of bounds?
7-3.
You know what? I saw another angle. I didn't think he did, but I saw another angle today. It didn't look like he did either. But it's hard to say. That they called it a touchdown. You couldn't really, by the replays, you couldn't tell if his white shoe was out. If he had black shoes, you might have told. You might have been able to tell.
You want to know why I thought he stepped out of bounds? By the reaction of the coaches and the players on the sideline, immediately they go pointing to the spot where they thought he stepped out.
That was the opposing sideline.
Yeah, no, of course they're going to do that.
No, but, I mean, typically, if you've ever been on a sideline, but you know this, I mean, you're sitting there watching like, oh, my gosh, here he goes. And then, but you see it, and it wasn't a delayed reaction.
It's a natural,
instinctive
boom. Instinctive,
like, boom, he's out. So,
2 things about that play. First off, I thought that Jared Crick got away with one by pushing the center down. They said he could put his hand on top of it, but I thought he gave a pull, and you can't pull. So that was an issue.
And because they jumped over him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he pulled him and jumped. You can push him and jump, but you can't pull him and jump. I thought he pulled him and jumped. And then the other one was, it's the first time in history that happened.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Unless you're a Saints fan.
Yeah, that was brutal. What a brutal way to lose a game.
They're about to win on the extra point, and they lose on the extra point. Let's see here.
You know, the one thing about the extra point, the league got that right, changing it. It makes it so much – I mean, it is a real play now. I mean
– and it also – yeah, I agree with you, Tony. I'm 100%
They got it right.
It also brings into this into play. If you score with 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 8 seconds left in the game to go up by
– it's not a gimme.
By one, no, you take the knee.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes.
Right. You take a knee. You don't even – you get your quarterback under center, you snap it to him, and you take a knee and go from there. Why would you risk kicking that? The only thing that you can lose – is if they blocked it and took it back the other way. So if you're up one, you don't, or even up two, you don't kick it.
No, up two, you kick it because now it's a 3-point game. Up one, you don't.
Yeah, up two, you kick it. That's right. But up one, you do not kick
no,
it.
No, that's a good call, Pete. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
The Eagles 24, Falcons 15. Matthews had a couple of touchdowns on the ground, but Dan Quinn went for it in his own territory late, Pete.
Wait, one thing, Tony. People would say you go for two in that situation. You're also risking that return for points too.
Yeah.
If it's like 7, 8, 9 seconds, 10 seconds, I'm taking my knee and taking my chance.
Agreed. Go back. So what happened in Atlanta? I didn't see it, Pete. I know you watch every game.
What were you
Atlanta
talking about?
Falcons.
Oh, Dan Quinn blew it. 2:25 left. 4th and 5 at his own 40. He had all 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning, and he went for it.
And how much time was left? I mean, what was the score of the game?
2:25. 2:25, they're up, they're down 6.
Oh, you punt it.
Right. So what happened was Philly gained a grand total of 6 yards, got in field goal position, kicked the field goal to up 9. Bad decision by Dan Quinn.
Hmm.
You punt him in.
Yeah.
If they get the six yards.
No, that's easy.
You get the ball back with 2 minutes left.
Right, and you
got Matt Ryan,
and you'll have one,
Julio Jones,
and you have the 2-minute warning too.
No, you kicked that deep.
Rams cannot score touchdowns, but they still won the game. Rice Petty started for the Jets, by the way.
That was a quarterback how not to that game. You could bottle that and sell that as a quarterback how not to.
People in Jacksonville know a lot about quarterback how not to. How's Jared Goff doing? When's he going to play, Pete?
You know what my theory is on it, and I don't know this because I haven't been out there, but. He, as ever ready as he is, he can't be any worse than what they got, okay? And I think Fisher and those guys are doing one of those deals where they're waiting until the end, and then they'll put him in at the end and say, okay, well, you know, look, we played the rookie at the end, so we should come back for our new, you know, get our contract extensions to come back. I think there's something calculating there. There really is. I don't know what it is because Case Keenum is awful. You know that.
Dolphins have won 4 in a row now. A bad pick late by Philip Rivers, by the way.
2.
Yeah, a couple of them.
He threw 4 picks in the last 13 throws he made.
Oh.
4. 4 picks in the last 13 throws. I mean, it was brutal. But, look, Miami, again, we go back to the offensive line. Their offensive line is pushing people around. They're getting better up front. They ran the ball. And Tannehill's playing good football because it's easy to play quarterback when you got a running game. I mean, that's a given. When your offensive line is that good. And, oh, by the way, Jaguar fans out there, I just want to throw this one out to you, too. You know who's rushing the passer and playing good football for the Miami Dolphins?
Andre Branch.
Yes, he is.
The windmill.
Yeah, he's playing. He's doing a lot more than the windmill. He's playing pretty good football.
The Chiefs were down.
They're staying out in L.A., by the way, this week, or San Diego, and they play the Rams.
If they
should beat the Rams. If they get beat the Rams, they're in the thick of the playoff race.
Yeah, Adam Gase is doing a good job.
Doesn't take any crap. That's part of the reason why.
The Chiefs were down 17-3 in the fourth. Eric Berry's interception return for a touchdown turned it. The Chiefs win 20-17 over the Panthers.
You cannot make that throw, Cam Newton. You cannot make that. You're up 17-6. You got pressure in your face. You're backpedaling. You throw the ball up for grabs. I mean, you're the MVP of the league. You cannot make that throw. The only chance they have is to make a play like that to get back in the game. 10 minutes to go in the game. They make the throw. Boom, right back in it, and go on and win the game. So terrible
thing
at the end of that game.
And then Peters ripped one away from Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah.
And then made a dumb play by punting the ball and getting a penalty. Did you see that?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It took almost took them out of field goal. They got a first down and then kicked the field goal to win it. But that's a bad – that's the end of the Panthers, right? They're done.
I got them Thursday night, Pete. They better not be done.
You got against the Saints Thursday.
Yeah.
You got heartbreak hotel game, that is, after what happened on Sunday.
Oh, rough. Rough. Ooh. See how they respond.
Jeez. Monday Night Football, the 3-4-1 Cincinnati Bengals with A.J. Green and the 5-3 New York Football Giants with Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants trying to keep up with Dallas in the division. The AFC North is all bunched up at the top. Tom Coughlin, Ernie Accorsi, and Justin Tuck all going into the Ring of Honor tonight for the Giants. Who you got, Pete?
So the Jaguars, I mean, the Giants are inducting the Jaguars' next coach into the Ring of Honor. That's a strange thing to
see. Oh, jeez. Who you got in the game,
Tony,
Pete?
No comment? No comment, Buscelli?
Crickets from Buscelli.
The Giants are playing good football. Eli Manning's playing really good football. This is a tough game, though. The Bengals are a good football team coming off a bye. They shook things up a little bit on defense. They got to play better, but I like the Giants. I think the Giants will find a way to win the game. Tony?
That Bengals team is not what we thought it was going to be this year. They're not very good defensively. Some were saying it's because they're aging quickly. I like the Giants too, Pete.
There you have it, Pete. Have a fantastic program tonight. We'll talk to you next time.
Crickets from Tony. Crickets.
Crickets.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
There he is. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, joining us. We'll come back. Tony and I will wrap the show. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Final moments of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco's out of here. By the way, the Jaguars and Bud Light have launched a new video game to give fans a shareable online experience, introducing River City Rollers to the digital platform Jaguars Arcade. Visit jaguarsarcade.com. Check it out. They announced it during the game yesterday. Well, the Jags have back-to-back road games coming up. I think we've said that a few times this year. Detroit and Buffalo, back-to-back. Tough ones.
Yeah, neither are easy. Detroit's playing, you know, really close football games. I think every game they've been behind in the fourth quarter.
The last game was unbelievable. They give Stafford a chance. He completes two passes, spikes the ball. They hit a 58-yarder to go to overtime. And then they get the ball in overtime, drive down the field. Golden Tate makes a fantastic catch and run.
That was this weekend?
That was,
two weeks ago.
They had the bye last week. It was two weeks ago. So, and then Tate scores a touchdown to win it. He was fantastic in crunch time. Stafford was, at least. And
every game they play is close. And so it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be loud. They're fighting in that division.
They're in first place.
Yeah, they're fighting for the playoffs. And they're going to. They're telling themselves, whether we like it or not right now, that this is the game they should win and they're going to come beat us. And they're going to beat us. I mean, that's what they're thinking. I mean, everyone should be honest with themselves, and that's their mindset. And our mindset should be we're going to go up there and beat them and win this game. Try to get something going. Try to get – you know, you can't get on a roll until you win one. And so it starts up there, and then you got another back, a tough one in Buffalo, a very physical team, one of the better running teams in football. I don't think they're very good on defense, not really sound. But Tyrod Taylor's playing good football. They got some weapons out there, but really it's all about LeSean McCoy in the run game. So back-to-back tough road games.
The Lions, Ziggy Ansah, I think, has been out a little bit with an ankle injury. He has not – I don't think he's had a sack this year in the games he's been in there yet.
Yeah, he's
– 14 and a half a year ago.
Yeah, good player. Had a really good year last year. And, you know, obviously because of injuries and for whatever other reasons, and I'll watch the tape coming up here. The next couple days to see exactly what's going on. But there's an overall good, solid team. I don't think that – you know, obviously Stafford on offense, he's kind of directing it. And it's interesting they're having a better year than they did last year and they lose Calvin Johnson. But they're just playing – you know, give Jim Caldwell, their head coach, a lot of credit. Been tough up there. They made a lot of changes in the middle of the season last year. Some people thought he wouldn't make it. Found a way to fight for his job and keep it, and they're playing. They're leading the division.
Right. You can't ask much more than that.
Not this time of year.
Not at all.
Get it in the mid, late November. You got the lead in the division. Everything's right in front of you. And so they're going to be ready to play. This team better be ready to go up there and compete. Otherwise, it won't be good.
Yeah, that's a big task this week. Jags are 2-7 now, and the guys can say it all they want. We're going to look forward. We just got to put our head down and work and all this. But at some point, you got to go do that, right? I mean, you got to have a result at the end of all that hard work, a positive result, right? I mean,
you'd somewhere. You'd like to put a W in the ledger.
Yeah.
After one of these games. You know, all the numbers, we can go through all these numbers, and we've done, you know.
Yeah.
Blake's numbers and A-Rob's and defense, and you can talk about all the good positives and niceties that you want. Got to win. Got to win a football game. Got to make plays when it matters the most. That's what good players do. When it matters the most, you make the plays, whether it's in the first quarter or the end of the game. You make plays, and that's how you win. And right now, we're not making those plays, whether it's defense, offense, special teams, or whatever it is, whatever the scenario happens to be. So let's hope. There's not many more people more positive about this franchise than me.
I agree with that.
And so I'm looking forward to hopefully they get a win. I'll say this, the double lock.
That didn't really work out last week.
The combination lock didn't work out last week. I'll never do a lock with Joe again.
I'm not buying that lock ever again.
And I'm shelving. There will be no locks.
No, you're no more locks for you.
Until we win a game.
You got burned by the double lock.
The double lock really messed me up.
You're a little gun shy. Once bitten, twice shy, right?
Yeah, got my head. I blame Joe. I'd never lost a lock before, and we went double lock, combination lock, and it went sideways.
Well, actually, you were sold into the lock because Joe was chirping about the lock, and then you changed your lock status and made it a double lock. And
that was
a
problem.
So it's really both of y'all's fault. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That's really
nice. I'll take the blame. Put it on my back.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do as the franchise, you know. So obviously, the win is what you want. But for Blake Bortles, what would be a positive day for him? What would you say? Hey, not turn the ball over, obviously. Not throw a pick six. 250, touchdown or two.
I don't care what his numbers are.
Right?
Win.
Just
when the players are there and
football.
The players are there, make them.
Osweiler threw for 99 and
just
won.
Win. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. Win a game. I don't care. I don't care if you just make the plays when they present themselves. I don't care if we run it 500 times or throw it, whatever. Just make the plays that present themselves. Don't put yourselves and your team in situations that are hard to overcome. This defense has dealt with more short fields.
Yeah.
And I don't have the statistics in front of me, and I could be dead wrong. I'm just blurting this out there. But I would bet that they have dealt with more short fields than anyone else in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Jags are minus 14 in turnover margin, sure. And most of those are short fields.
Let's not turn the ball over, and let's get some this week.
I like it. That's coming up at Ford Field in Detroit. We'll have all the Thursday radio, of course. Gus Bradley show coming up 6 o'clock Thursday on the network, and then Jaguars Thursday right after that at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, Sunday, Public Stellgate show, 10 o'clock, as the Jaguars face the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford and company await the Jags in Week 11. It's already Week 11. In the National Football League, the Jags trying to get that third win of the season. Tough ledger coming up. Back-to-back road games, and then back home, they'll have three home games in the month of December here at Everbank Field, trying to get back on track. And it starts this week. Tony, hey, well done, man. Good show.
Thank you very much.
You got through it.
I appreciate it.
I'm excited for you. We'll talk to you again later this week. You'll be where this Thursday?
I'll be in Carolina.
Yep. Saints and the Panthers coming up on Westwood One.
Looking forward to it.
Good one. For Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.